good new year.
Yes, thanks.
Yeah, had a great Christmas and everything, and good, good, good. I'm not on yet. I got to find a little thing which I can never. That one.
That's it. When the red light comes on.
Testing, testing. All right. You ever notice that? I always think that's strange. Musicians, they can't count beyond three. One, two. Yeah. All right. Praise God. Now, I'm going to preach something today. Took me a while to get here. I'm off to do some work in a Bible school for the next couple of weeks. So I've been doing all prep for that and doing all this and this. So the message you got today is volume 4 of what I was going to preach here. So, no, seriously, that? Volumes 1, 2, 3. Volumes 4. So it must have something for somebody today. Who thinks they might have something for you today?
Amen.
Just turn to the person next to you and just say, God might have something for you today. Yeah. So, Father, we thank you. We come before you in the name of Jesus. And you said the entrance of your word brings light. I pray in each one of us today a light would go on, that you would show us great and wonderful things out of your word, that we might see a fresh revelation of Jesus and the life that we have in him. Holy Spirit, come. Jesus said you would be our teacher and you would be our guide. You would lead us into all truth. You would take those things which are his and you would reveal them to us. So we're expecting today for you to reveal something to us.
Amen.
Speak, we pray.
Amen.
We ask it in Jesus' name and to his praise and glory, and the saints of God say,
Amen.
Amen. John 17:17 says this, Father, sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. Absolute truth. No matter what the circumstances, what the situations, what the conditions, this old book is the truth.
Amen.
So whatever you feel, whatever you think, whatever you've heard, whatever you like, whatever you don't like, this word is still the truth. We used to have a woman in our church who we love dearly, but she used to say something absolutely used to infuriate me. And I used to sit there, I had to sit on my hands. And it was this. She said, oh, I know the Bible says, but. You know, you haven't got any Americans here, have we? And we can say this then, we'll get your butt out of the way. Because it's not when there's no but. Thy word is truth. So what God said about you, what he said about the devil, what he said about the future, what he says about all those things are absolute truth. So there we go. Sanctify them in the truth. Sanctify. It's from the same word that we get holy from, actually. It means to set apart for holy use. Set them apart. How's he going to set me apart? By the truth of the word of God. Is that easy so far? Good. So that's where we're going. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this. If any man be in Christ, he is getting by, patched up. If any man be in Christ, he is a... The old has... Behold! I believe a miracle. The new has come. Yeah?
Yeah.
I hear you questioning this. Well, if everything's become new, how comes I struggle with that? If the old has passed away, yeah, I've still got this issue that I'm struggling with. Smile at me. It's maybe it's only me, maybe you were sort of really sanctified and holy and you know, you don't have problems. But if I've already arrived, why am I on a journey? If I've already been made new, Right, so first thing to realise is this. Always remember this. I am becoming, I will be.
Amen.
I am becoming, I will be. I am holy. I am becoming holy. I am delivered. I am being delivered. Praise God. I will be delivered. None of us have arrived. We're all on a journey. So what does this scripture mean? I'll tell you what it means. I knew you was all asking. When you became a Christian, something was born anew.
Praise
Lord. You get Christ. Something was born anew. You are not what you were. Same body, same soul, your mind, your emotions, and your will. But you are a new spirit.
Amen.
Your spirit which was dead, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. God who is rich in mercy, where in his great love he has loved us, even while we were dead in our sins, he made us. Abundant life. Yeah, who's not abundance of anything? Money, preferably. Anyone who's not abundant, and abundance is more than enough.
That's right.
Yeah? So we have received the abundance of his grace, which is more than enough. When did we receive it? When we were dead in sins and trespasses, God made us alive.
Amen.
Through Christ Jesus. Your spirit man, who was dead in sins and trespasses, suddenly became alive. I don't understand Christians who don't enjoy being Christians. Really? You have to excuse me. If you're one of them, I'll get saved. We are alive. We have been born again. We're not what we were. The Spirit of God dwells in us. We have had a resurrection. We were... Yeah? Good. We got the idea. Ephesians 2, 4, that was. But the God who is rich in mercy, wherein is love to the season, while we were dead, in our trespasses, he made us alive. Why do I say this? Ready? So he makes you alive. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17 says this. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. God can speak to me. How can God speak to me? With my spirit. Is that right?
Yeah.
Get to me. Because I'm going to tell you why you struggle being you. Your spirit man is alive and is connected to God. You're struggling. You think, I can hear you struggling. If you went to Matthew 26 and verse 41, it says this. Watch and pray. Ready? What? For your spirit is willing, but your flesh is weak. So hang on, my spirit is connected to the Lord. My spirit is always willing. Do you know your spirit is always up for it? When those mornings, he says, let's go, what are you, prayer meeting? Your spirit man says, yeah, let's go to pray. But your flesh man, the other guy who lives with you, says, let's watch the tent. Yeah, you know. Before God did, he lives in all of us. There's always a struggle. That's why Jesus said, watch and pray. That's why you should always pray with one eye open. Of course, why? Because you watch for the flesh. The reason you and I get so much trouble is we
Sometimes the devil sits down and says, I'm not that bad. We blame the devil for everything. I'm going to teach you something, I have to go. You struggle with you. You struggle with your flesh. All he can do is entice, encourage. He can't make you do anything. The devil made me do it. The devil and I do agree. I had the devil and he hates me. But the devil didn't make you do it. All he got was David with Karen, and all you went, no, I did it. So you've got to watch and pray over the flesh and watch out for the devil. Amen. Sad thing, the Bible says he comes sometimes disguised as an angel. Who's ever been in church? And someone's prayed for you because you've got some condition. And you're walking away. And you've got this happy person who comes up and says, you don't look any better. Yeah, so you get me in church, oh yeah. Oh, you're all excited, and there's suddenly the fridge door opens. You're supposed to be people, yeah? Yeah. I better stop, I get in trouble, yeah. Wouldn't I? What's the Bible say? It's always good to say. But 2 Corinthians 4, 7 says this. We've got this treasure in earthen vessels. I hate these people who say, oh, I know. Have you ever been that one as well? Oh, I never had that problem. And you think, no, you never had that problem. I know it's 1,500 just what I could say. I mean, you know, I mention it. I'm too polite. You know, they go super spiritual, don't they?
Yeah.
Let's be perfectly honest. We've all got this treasure in earthen vessels. Jesus said, watch and pray. Watch out for the flesh, watch out for the devil. Ready? The Bible says we are not ignorant of his devices, his strategies, his schemes. He's... Right, ready. Genesis chapter 3. We wrestle against three things, do we not? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. You want to know where your trouble comes with you, one of those three. If you want to sit down and do your homework, that would be good exercise here. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Ready? Adam and Eve, fellowship with God, having a great time. What happens? The serpent, who is more cunning than all other creatures, remember what we said? He's a liar, a father of lies, John 8:44. Comes alongside and says, has God really said? Firstly, makes the doubt when it comes to that. Secondly, I'm going to, for the sake of the argument, what's going on with this apple here? This fruit, let's be sound. This fruit. Ready? The lust of the eyes. When the woman saw, the tree was good to me. Lust of the flesh. And desirable to make one wise, the pride of life. She took an end. That one. I don't know if I agree. There's always someone. Ready? Think of the Lord Jesus Christ. Stand and go on. 4 days, 100,000. If you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. That's the flesh. And take him up on a high hill and show him all the kingdoms of the world. He said, all these will be to you. And if you find them, yeah? That's the blood. Throw yourself down off the pinnacle and they'll fall down and worship you. The pride of life. Universal. Yet nothing else. There's a lesson for you. I want to talk to you now about what happened after that. Just for you and my struggle. What was the first thing Adam to ever leave after had eaten fruit? See? they became sin conscious. Well, I reckon, why did they not lie? Because they knew something had changed.
Yeah.
What was that? They make a covering. Why? Because they realise they were naked. They became self-conscious. They're walking around in starkest at the time. Thirsty. So the result of sin is this. You become sin-conscious in your relationship with God, and you become self-conscious in your relationship with yourself. And in the relationship with God. Good stuff. I'm sort of jumping ahead of myself for time's sake. Oh, cool. You're halfway down the page. When Adam sinned, he lost his right standing with God. Is that fair? Because this summary is going to be about righteousness, your standing in Christ. But before you see that, I want to talk to you about now. So many of us live in sin consciousness because we didn't listen to the devil tell us what failure we are. We do not achieve our potential because we are so self-conscious. I could God use anyone like me because I'm so glad that you can tell me about it for helping. So the message does end up being. And it's only because of Jesus. Don't you deal with that as a Ken said, some sort of self-help. This is all that Jesus has done. But don't say it short. All that was lost in Adam was regained in Christ.
Amen.
As in Adam, all men, even so in Christ shall
be made alive.
I like this church. You've done a good job with them. Ready? I'll just fill this gap in for you. When Adam fell, Habakkuk. There's not a book. It takes you forever to find it, doesn't it? Chapter 1, verse 13 says, what? Thou art a purer eye than to behold evil, and I cannot look on wickedness. Isaiah 59 and 2 says this. Your sins have made a separation between you and your God. So there we are now, self-conscious, sin-conscious, separated from God. But God. Ready? Together? But God. No matter what your situation, no matter what your circumstance, no matter what your condition, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter what, no matter what, as long as you can have but God. As long as there is a God in heaven, there's hope and health for humanity. As long as there is a God in heaven who became flesh in Jesus Christ, but God, who is rich in mercy.
Amen.
And abounding in grace, wherein he has loved us. God so loved us that in our mess he sent Jesus to die for us. The great divide, the great separation has been bridged. Suddenly now my sin problem, the thing that's keeping me from God, has been dealt with. He put in his own body on the tree and bore our sin. Who is that body on the tree bore our sin? We haven't died to sin, but live to righteousness. By his stripes we are healed, 1 Peter 2 and 24. That we who have died to sin might live to what?
Righteousness.
That's not bad. Oldest book in the Bible. Oldest book in the Bible. No. Oldest book in the Bible.
Job.
Why do I say that? Because Genesis was written by Moses. Moses comes after Job. Most people say Job is the oldest book in the Bible. There's a promise in Job. This is worth listening to. Ready?
Job 33, isn't it? Yes, it is. It's only because I'm not introducing the bloke behind me. I'm sticking up on the screen there. You know. Job 33 and 26 says this. You're going to like this. Ready? He shall pray, speaking about the person, to God. And he shall delight in him. And he shall see his face with joy. Why? For he shall restore to man his righteousness. God, from the foundation of the world, knowing what would happen, made provision for you and I not only to be restored to himself, but our standing in his presence. So much should happen. I'm improving your prayer life already.
You are.
That someone should be able to stand in his presence without guilt, without shame. I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. Do you know what? That ain't true. It's almost too licensed in sin, isn't it? I'm just an old sinner. But God is grace. You were a sinner. You met Jesus. And then you became a saint. That's why the Bible, how many times does Paul write, not write to the sinners, he writes to the saints who are in Ephesus. To the saints. Hagios. Saint where the saints are. It's where you get holy from. The holy ones.
Amen.
Looking around this room.
Yeah.
God, that makes sense. But the holy ones. The separate ones. The called out ones. The chosen ones. Who are accepted in the beloved. I can speak dribble Bible for you for hours if you want. That's your status. That's your standing. That's who you are. Ready? I'm going to tell you something now. It's going to turn your world upside down. Righteousness is not something you do. It's not something you can lose. It's not something you achieve. It's something you are. God has spoken over my life in Jesus. I don't know if I agree. There's always someone on there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says this. He made him to be sin, who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Is that what the Bible says? 2 Corinthians 5, 21. Hang on, the great exchange. He took my sin. I take his righteousness. He took my place. I take his standing. God sees me where? In him. Is Jesus righteous?
Yes.
Is my life in Christ in God? Yes. In him we have got redemption. Yes. The scripture I just gave you, may it be sin and you know sin, we might become the righteousness of God. Where?
In him.
Not ourselves. Not the words that any man should boast. In fact, the Bible says, none is righteous. So, if I burst you loose, sorry about that. But no, not one. Man cannot please God. For my Catholic ex-friends. Ex-friends? No, ex-Catholic. I might be ex-friends myself, I think. You can't earn it. See, the thing about your right standing with God is something you can't earn. No matter how many sure, no matter how many round rosaries, up downs. Martin Luther, let's pick on part of Martin Luther. Martin Luther said this. I'm doing really well, eh?
You're good,
Ken. I know. It's in steroids. Martin Luther said this. Good Catholic boy. Serious, serious Catholic. And he said, I used to pray, and I used to fast. In fact, he used to beat himself. In fact, he used to fast so much, later in life he had historical health issues because of it. So he used a serious word about this. And he said, the sooner that I had gone and made my confession, then the devil would understand you were proud of yourself.
Yeah.
You forgot that. He is the accuser. But when you realise you're standing in God, that's all because of Jesus. We who have... I thought I'd preach it. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18 says this. Come now.
debts have been on. Though your sins be as scarlet, it shall be white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they shall be white as snow. Thank you, Jesus. What you could not do, no matter how hard you try, religion will never get you there. Religion will always come up short. Because it's you trying to earn your way to heaven. Thank God that God in Jesus Christ brought heaven down to us. Knowing full well that none of us could make it without him. Some of us should be getting excited about the goodness and the mercy of God. I will restore their righteousness to them. I don't know where they... Oh, yeah. Just for those who struggle. Where's someone in church, isn't there? Job 33 and 24 says... In Job 26, God promised to me, Job restore his righteousness. 24 says this. Why? For I have found an answer. What does Jesus say? The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for man. Do you know what that word means? It literally means a payment. Comes from the idea, I go to war, I don't do very well, half my army gets captured. To get them back, I've got to pay the price. So, ransom. Yeah? We were dead in sins. We were, who you choose to serve, at that one you became a slave. We were slaves to Satan. But God came and paid a price. You were not ransomed from the future, from the dead, from the future, always inherited from your parents or grandparents. The silver and gold. But with the precious blood of a man,
amen.
In that wrinkle of his eye. Is that what you're excited? Don't you just think God's been good to you? While you were dead, he made us alive. While you were lost, he came and found us. While you were sick, he came and healed us. While you were twisted in the head, he came and straightened us out. It's all of grace. It's all of God's mercy. I want you to understand this today about your standing. Ready? How did you receive it? Well, firstly, you're right. We're going to get there. But Romans chapter 5. Is that right? Yes, it is. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. Says this. That we who have received, isn't that the abundance of grace? There we go. That's you. That's what I thought they were saying. Where's that one?
Yeah, that is the abundance of provision of grace and of his gift of righteousness.
Shall reign in life with one
man, Jesus Christ.
Where's that?
That's in Romans
5:17.
I'm looking at that. 5:17. Romans. Oh, Romans. No wonder. I'm looking at Galatians. No. I'm going to say that. Right. That's excuse me. 17. Yeah, we receive the abundance of his grace. Firstly, you don't deserve it. What's grace?
Unmerited,
undeserved, unearned. You don't, you can't get it. And the gift of righteousness. So just get by. For those of you who like to read your Bibles, I think it's something like the Message Bible says, shall reign as kings in life. And get on. Alright, under the circumstances. Get out of the circumstances.
Right.
You run your life. Does that mean we don't have troubles? No. But we run through our troubles.
Amen.
I was going to remain in your grave. And I don't know how many times you've been told this. But listen, you are called to a higher life than many of us choose to live. And half of that, half of that is down to this, that we don't understand what Christ has done for us. What about this one? You are complete in Him.
Right.
What about this one? As He is in the world, so are you. Ah, but you don't have a problem. I don't need to. Christ has dealt with you. You don't have my issues. I need to. Christ has dealt with you. Am I speaking to somebody today? Very quickly.
I am 2/3 down. All right, and I know you're looking at the clock. When Jesus took our sin, we took His righteousness. Done that. How does God look at you now? He looks at you in Christ, righteous. Righteousness is a position, a standing. You cannot earn it. You can't be more righteous. But you can understand your position more. See, when you, the first day you got married to somebody, the first day you got married, you could not be more married than you were on that night. Who has spent the next 52 years trying to work out what on earth that meant? Growing in awareness of what happened.
On the journey.
Becoming. That's better, more and more. Sometimes our relationship goes bright and bright to its own thing. Pray that clear revelation of what Jesus has done for us. Now, the thing I want to talk to somebody about, and don't look at the person next to you straight ahead, otherwise I'm not going to offend you. But this sense of being dirty, shameful, unworthy, and secondly there. It's so prevalent in Christendom. I was speaking to you today and telling you this. God loves you. And has made provision in Jesus for you to come into His presence. What does it say in Hebrews? Hebrews chapter 4:1. What about 17, is it? No. Where it says, let us come. How? Let us come boldly before the throne of grace, that we might receive grace and mercy to help in time of need. Is it not?
I'll tell you where it is. It's in the notes.
It's 4:16.
See, it's 4:16. Of course it is. Because 4:12 says the word of God is alive and active and sharp and every two of us make a decision to stop the spirit by the marriage, by the city, because the intestine. Hey, 4:16, let's come boldly. Well, that's you what, some in here spend more time repenting than they do come before the throne of God. Oh, God, that is a long, slow, long word. Try to talk God out of it, so you don't know. Let's be honest. Oh, Lord, is the only thing I don't know I am. I do. Jesus. If you can do it now, then why not if you can? In fact, the more you're in the Lord, the more you should love Him.
Yeah.
I've been around this thing too long. I used to be like that. Somebody saying to my wife, when I first met you, I thought you were the most beautiful thing in the world. But now.
Let
me share with you. But we did it in the Lord, didn't we? Oh, yeah, when I was first saved, I used to tell people all the time. Oh, I couldn't stop telling people about Jesus. Oh, I used to pray. I read my Bible 3 times in the first year. Giving, what a pain. Oh no, giving was just a joy. Couldn't been waiting, haven't you? No, nothing yet, I'm here. But now.
But now.
I've got more realistic faith. You're not worth your own sight. You won't go there, I'll end up in trouble. All right, we're closing. Let me just give you one more. And this is the Abraham. And then his sons, and then his sons, and his father. No, no, no. Abraham, our writer said the fourth. And it's also said it, obviously, in Genesis. But it says this, round about verse 15, is it? 25. No, that's wrong. 23 through 25. Abraham believed God. And it was, ready, big word, imputed to him as righteousness. Yeah? Imputed. Put to his account. He believed God. It was put to his account. Yeah? Now, this wasn't only written about Abraham, but it was written to us also, that it might be imputed to us. What? The righteousness of Abraham. What was the righteousness of Abraham? He believed God. You need to believe what God says about what God has done in the Lord Jesus Christ and start listening to the devil. Because John 8:44 says he is a liar and the father of lies and a murderer. And he will kill the victory that Christ has won for you if you listen to him. Jesus said it like this. John 10:10, the thief comes to do what? Kill, steal, and destroy. Why does he come to kill, steal, and destroy? Can't steal you, can't steal you, so kill your soul. That's been born again, that belongs to God. But he can rob you of the benefits. Psalm 103, verses 1 and 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is in me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not. What's that the Bible says? Forget not. We must have the potential to forget. And the devil will come and love us and speak to us and tell us how bad we are. Do you notice? When I was sinning, the devil will start to me. Then he just this party. God can. How the hell, yeah? Then you get saved. What's the first thing that happens? Oh, you done that wrong. Oh, you should have said that. Should have called that. Didn't you do that? What's it? Somebody wants to talk to you. Somebody wants to see your body. Why? Because he wants to bring you into condemnation. Now it's closed. There's more to be said than anything to say. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. You all know. Don't know what verse 2 says, but I'll tell you what it says. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. Therefore, there is.
No.
When we get to heaven?
Now.
When I'm good enough?
Now.
Now. No condemnation for those who be in Christ Jesus. Verse 2. We do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Verse 3. For the law of sin and life set me free from the law of sin and death. Verse 4. For what the law could not do, being weakened through the flesh, God did send his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Why? Because he was condemned in the sin of the flesh and paid the price for our sin that we might walk in the sin of life. Someone today should be seeing that God don't want to be coming forth. I don't want to be aware of God in people. Let's be honest, do you? So, can you do that for me? It's not so much of just move out, let me do it. We come before the throne of grace. Listen to the devil instead of listening to God. Holding back instead of coming from. What about this one? When God says to you, I want you to do that. Oh God, let me know.
taking out my problems, taking out my background. Now I've come for you. That's why I put the tissue up. You try to keep one out of it. How can't you say, like, oh, look, I've been on air here, it's a at church time, I was having a look at what was sitting at the front. And you look at that and say, self-consciousness
I want to say to you to make Christ a salvation. Just where you are, just thank him for that. You think he died in your place. He gave himself that you might be set free. Hallelujah. He became fit. Listen to this one. He became sin, who knew no sin. 2 Corinthians 2:24, the Lord laid on him the sin of us all, who is up on the tree and bore our sin. He's taken his sin, my
friend. Thank you, Lord.
Come on, just worship him. Just bless him. Does that mean I can sin?
No.
Certainly not.
Thank you.
But when you do, I'd like you to tune in, you may not sin, but get him and after sin. He has an advocate with the Father.
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Oh, come on, love on the Lord. It should be hard for us Christian people just to love him, just to thank him, just to bless him, just to rejoice in his presence. Look what he has done. Look where we were. Washed white and snow. Cleansed, made whole, restored, forgiven. Who like me his praise should sing? And we think he goes through all those hits. Cleansed, forgiven. Hallelujah. We give you praise. Now, Father, by your Spirit, will you come and seal every, that word has been spoken.
Thank
you. Seal it in every heart.
Yes, Lord.
And as we watch and pray, when the devil comes round, may we just run him off.
Amen.
May we just run him off. When he tries to say what we did, just tell him what Christ has done. Father, we thank you for the victory. This is the victory that overcomes the world. Who is he that in our faith? Who is he that overcomes the world? But he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. We have a victory today. He always leads us in triumph. We are overcomers through him who loved us.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, just take a moment as the worship people get ready. Take a moment and say, bless the Lord. Honor my soul and all that is within me. Bless his holy name.
Thank you. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hey.
Praise you, Lord.
Thank you.